Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you. Beloved Saints, beware that there is a roving group of Antichrist, a veritable brood of vipers or snakes who are going around perpetrating the lie that, quote, this is their own words, there was nothing special about the blood of Jesus. Yes, if you haven't fallen off your seat already, let me read that again in case you weren't listening. Quote, there was nothing special about the blood of Jesus, unquote. Now, if you've ever heard an Antichrist statement, that's it right there. Some of them are authors and they're in ministry, many of them with very large audiences, the most popular of which is false teacher, full-blown diabolical Calvinistic heretic John MacArthur, who blasphemously stated, are you ready for this? He said this. These are the words of John MacArthur. You can go look it up yourself. He said, quote, the only importance the blood of Jesus has is that it showed He died. Here it is. He finishes this way. There is no saving in that blood itself, unquote. Again, John MacArthur said, the only importance the blood of Jesus has is that it showed He, Jesus, died. There is no saving in that blood itself, unquote, John MacArthur. Now, let me say something about John MacArthur. We have a category on John MacArthur. Go to the desktop version of safeguardyoursoul.com and look up John MacArthur. Just hit J and it goes down to the J's immediately, and look at the post we have exposing this absolute diabolical wolf, John MacArthur, who is a full-blown heretic. If you didn't know that before, you now know it by this quote alone, and you can go verify that he actually said that himself. So a bloodless gospel, let's put this to the test. Let's put this idea, that's what it is at best, that somehow Jesus' blood has no power, that there's nothing special about the blood of Jesus, which I believe it's the Way International cult. Everybody, most people know that's a cult. And many others, they're Antichrist, who are going around teaching that there's no power in the blood of Jesus. So let's put that to the test. And let me say up front that a bloodless gospel is another gospel, a false, a damning gospel, and anyone preaching it is accursed. According to Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. So let's talk about the perfect ultimate blood atonement of Jesus Christ. Notice Leviticus 17:11 says, It's the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Leviticus 17:11. Let me read that again, because my goal here today is to get you to be attuned to the words of God and to listen with your mind and your whole heart. Are you ready? Leviticus 17:11. It is the blood. What is he talking about? The blood. It is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. So what is it that God required for there to be an atonement for the soul? Quote unquote. It is the blood of Jesus. All the way from the beginning, God instituted
that blood must be shed in order for there to be redemption and forgiveness. Notice Colossians 1:14 says, in whom, that's Christ specifically, we have redemption and the forgiveness of our sins, and it's through his blood. Now, interestingly, the new versions remove the blood of Jesus from Colossians 1:14. And let me read that again for you. Colossians 1:14, in whom we have redemption through his blood. How do we have redemption? It's through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Colossians 1:14 tells us again that we only have redemption and forgiveness of sins through the blood of Jesus. So on that note, beloved, I would encourage you to open your Bible and check to see if your quote-unquote version of the English Bible has the blood of Jesus in it. And I want you to lay it next to the King James Bible. Don't believe me. I want you to compare the versions in Colossians chapter 1, verse 14. And you're going to find that many, if not most, of the new Bibles, which are from Vatican corrupted manuscripts, are removing and have removed thousands of words, and this right here, where they remove the blood of Jesus, is an absolute antichrist blasphemous attack on the Son of God to rob the glory from the life that he gave in his blood, his lifeblood, wherein is the redemption of the soul, the lost souls of fallen mankind. Hebrews 9:22, without the shedding of blood is no remission, that is no remission of sin. So what does that say for those who crafted a fake Bible or fake Bibles that remove the very agent of redemption, the very blood of Jesus Christ? It clearly tells us, and when you look into it, these were perverted, corrupted antichrist who did these fake Bibles. You can go to the Bible versions category on safeguardyoursoul.com to see a whole lot more specific comparisons between the King James Bible and the fake Bibles that we have today that so many read and are being deceived and sold down the river by their false prophet leaders. Okay, and on safeguardyoursoul.com, also the drop-down menu on the desktop version, I want you to go to Blood Atonement, the Blood Atonement category on safeguardyoursoul.com. Let me stop to say this. Beloved saints, there is absolutely no doctrine that could possibly be more important than the blood of Jesus Christ. And I want you to get grounded in the original gospel message, yet more and more deepened every single day. And that's going to take and require you to study to show your own self approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, or you are going to be deceived. It's absolutely a fact. That's why God tells you, 2 Timothy 2:15, you study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's the only way you're going to be able to rightly divide the word of truth, is if you're diligently studying and devouring the words of God. And that's what safeguardyoursoul.com is all about. It's to feature Christ, to have his word front and center, that you would become rooted and grounded in the love and the grace and the truth of Jesus Christ and grow in his grace, 2 Peter 3:18. Amen. So the Blood Atonement, it's going to be under the B's, Blood Atonement category, on safeguardyoursoul.com, beloved. Okay, so it is the blood, Leviticus 17:11. I hope I say this enough times that you and I have it memorized by the time we finish this message. Wouldn't that be a blessing? Leviticus 17:11, speaking of foretelling of, prefiguring, and foreshadowing the ultimate blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, who was going to come, and now he already has come, to redeem mankind. How was that going to happen? It is the blood. Here it is, Leviticus 17:11. It is the blood, the blood, the blood, the blood.
And about this time, we are brought into remembrance of the great song, Nothing But the Blood of Jesus.
No song that has ever been written could ever be more biblical than that song right there. It is the blood. It is what? It is what? It is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. And Leviticus 17:11. Let me encourage you, beloved, to sing Nothing But the Blood today. You might want to even just stop this recording, or when it's finished, I want you to sing that beautiful, precious song of the blood.
The precious blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen. We could not be redeemed outside of the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. When John the Baptist saw Jesus coming, he said this, "Behold," this is the biggest behold that has ever happened in history. "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And all of this stuff about the blood and the animal sacrifices that were rendered to God in obedience to God, who always requires a blood sacrifice for the atonement of sins, this all foretold of or foreshadowed the blood of the Lamb of God, the very Son of God, and his coming and shedding of his own precious blood. That's what the Bible calls the blood of Jesus, the precious blood of Christ. 1 Peter 1:18 and 19, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition," or by tradition from your fathers, "but
rather," I might insert,
"with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." That's what had to be offered by the Israelites before Christ came. They had to offer a lamb that was without blemish and without spot, and that was to prefigure and foreshadow the coming of Christ, who was going to be the Lamb of God, who was without blemish and without spot. He only had the blood of his Father in his veins, his heavenly Father, so he had the divine blood of God. That's why he had to be born of a virgin. Now, we also have a Christology. That simply means the study of Christ. That's all it means. Under the C's on the drop-down menu on the right side of safeguardyoursoul.com. And we want to encourage you to use this site to learn of the Lord, to learn the Word of God more and more, and also to be able to use it as a reference point, as many do, to share with others, to help them learn what the Word of God says on a variety, a wide spectrum of scriptural topics. So did you catch that? God calls the blood of his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, precious. Notice, the precious blood of Christ, 1 Peter 1, verse 19. So he calls it the precious blood of Jesus. And if we call it anything less, if we demote Christ and we denigrate the very blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, without which no man could be redeemed and without which no one can be saved and forgiven of their sins, then we are preaching another gospel and we are demoting Christ and blaspheming God. Now, this message I originally called, and perhaps that'll be the title, "Beware of the Blasphemous Blood Bashers." Beware of the blasphemous blood bashers. And that's exactly what men like John MacArthur and other full-blown heretics are, by saying that the blood of Jesus has no power in it, which is absolutely unthinkable for anyone to say, ever. They are bearing false witness against the Almighty, and they are accursed. It simply doesn't matter how many other things that they say that are biblical and how much of a apologetic Bible teacher that they are, no matter how good they are at anything else, these men are absolutely accursed to the core. The Bible says in Galatians 5:9 that it only takes a little leaven to leaven the whole lump. If a man is a Calvinist, why would anybody listen to him, knowing that everything that he teaches is absolutely permeated and governed by the heretical belief that he has in the demonic system of Calvinism? We have a Calvinism category on safeguardyoursoul.com. Notice Leviticus 17:14, "For it is the life of all flesh, the blood of it is for the life thereof, for the life of all flesh is the blood thereof." Notice, the life of all flesh is the blood thereof. Okay, so that brings us back to Leviticus 17:11. Let's read the whole verse together. It says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood." Now, you're going to want to absolutely memorize that statement. Leviticus 17:11, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood. See, the blood is the life force given by God to every human being that's alive on the earth today. For the life of the flesh is where? It's in the blood. And by the way, let me stop right here and say, it doesn't matter if you and I understand all the intricacies of the life that is in the blood. We are not divine. We are not infinite. We're finite. We're mere men. We're not God. He dwelleth in a light that no man can approach. He is above all. He is divine. We're not. We're the creation of God. And as such, we must take God at his word. No matter how deeply we do or do not understand what he said. And one of the things that we are learning today is to take God at his word when he says things like, the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you, he continues, upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Now, if you're a brand new Christian, for example, and you heard that statement, you would know that these other men who are saying that there's no power in the blood is absolutely a false statement. You would know that those men are the very diabolical wolves that Jesus and his apostles so often warned us about. To beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing. Man, they got big churches. They wear the three-piece suit. They're eloquent and authoritative when they speak. That's the sheep's clothing. But inwardly, they are ravening wolves. And somebody might say, how do you know that inwardly they are ravening wolves? Because of what's coming out of their mouth. Matthew 12:34, Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, hello, the mouth speaketh. So how do you know who I am? How do you know who you are, beloved? How do you know who those around you are? You know exactly who they are by their fruit, by the fruit of their lips. You need to memorize Matthew 12:34. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So if these men are bearing false witness against the Lord, if they are preaching another gospel by what they say, even if it's only an error, that heresy like we're talking about today, where they're denying the power of the blood of Jesus, here or there, Satan is much more deceptive. Remember in the third chapter of Genesis, the Bible says the serpent, representing Satan, was more subtle than all creatures. Satan is very, very clever and deceiving, and he has been doing this for 6,000 years, and he knows how to kill you with one little ounce or one little iota of arsenic or poison by giving you a million pounds of truth and hiding that one little lie in the middle of it. In my estimation, that clearly defines the whole ministry of men like John MacArthur, who teaches a lot of truth. And that's why a lot of people are deceived by him. But when you find out that he's saying with his own mouth, out of the abundance of his own heart, that the blood has no power, then you know this man could not be more of a diabolical heretic that is as sure for hell as if he was already there. God said he is accursed. He is preaching another gospel, a bloodless gospel. A gospel without the power of the blood of Jesus is absolutely another gospel, and it is absolutely a curse, and the ones teaching it are accursed. Read it for yourself, Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 through 9, which says this, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto what? Another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel, any variation that is not the original gospel, in other words, unto you that which we have preached unto you. Let me read it again. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you. Notice, if we come back, Paul said, him and his staff, if we come back and teach you any other gospel, we should be viewed by you as accursed. But though we or an angel from heaven, not hell, heaven, but though we or an angel from heaven, one of God's angels, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. as we said before, so say I now again, if any man, doesn't matter how many people follow him or how big of an audience he is or how eloquent and authoritative he sounds, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. So recently we exposed, as we've been doing for years, the ministry of false prophet Billy Graham. Also, you can go ahead and look on the B alphabet on the drop-down menu on the desktop version of Safeguard Your Soul and look into that. You know, it just came to me, and so I made a meme out of it. I said, I'm sorry, can anybody explain to me if Billy Graham died for anybody's sins? I'm sorry, did Billy Graham die for our sins? Or did Jesus Christ die for our sins? See, Jesus Christ is the one that has been evidently or clearly and plainly set forth before us, which is what Paul said right here in this same epistle, this letter to the Galatians. He says, oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? Who's put this spell of witchcraft over you that, you know, we make Billy Graham and people like John MacArthur into basically a pope of the Protestant movement? Those men were just men, just like you and I. They must all be put to the gospel test. They must be put to the acid litmus test of the Word of God, just exactly like our dear brothers that were disciples of Christ in the town of Berea, as we read in Acts 17:11, where they took what Paul spoke and they listened with all readiness of mind, but then they searched the scriptures daily. They devoured the Bible, the Word of God, to see whether or not those things Paul was teaching were true or false. Every man must be put to the gospel test, to the test of the Word of God, everyone's teaching. Romans 3:4, memorize it. Paul says, let God be true and every man a liar. And let me say this, any man who is not happy that you would test everything he's saying to the Word of God is an absolute wolf that's full of himself and full of arrogancy and pride. You can bet Paul celebrated the fact that the Berean believers tested everything he was saying against the Word of God.
And just one of the reasons we know this is because it was the Apostle Paul who spoke about rightly dividing the word of truth by way of studying to show ourselves approved unto God, 2 Timothy 2:15. So it seems fitting for you and I to rejoice
when people put the word of God next to what we say and say, wow, okay, that's on target, or no, that's partially right, that's half truths, or that's blatantly evil and heretical. Amen. Thank God. Let the righteous smite me, David said. Let the righteous smite me. That's what men of God say. They declare before the Lord, Lord, let the righteous smite me. It shall be a kindness. And let him reprove me. It shall be an excellent oil, which shall not break my head. For yet my prayer also shall be in their calamity. God, we pray right now that whenever we need it and in whatever area we need it, let the righteous smite us, and we count it to be as an excellent oil from heaven, in Jesus' name. Amen. You see, friends, I believe that it's possible the truth that the harshest of biblical truth is the delicacy, the delight of the true disciple of Jesus, just like it was with the man after God's own heart, Acts 13:22, speaking of the beloved David. The man of God will run to all of the Word of God and never from it. He embraces the cross, never evading it. He is truly crucified with Christ. He delights in the sword of the Spirit, that's the Word of God, that cuts to the core of who he is and carves the image of Christ into the fabric, the innermost core of who he is in Christ. Christ and Christ alone is his sole identity.
He says with the Apostle Paul that we preach Christ crucified.
And he counts not his own life in this world dear unto himself, so that he is able to finish his course with great joy, being conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're talking about the blood of Jesus. And one of the cardinal verses that you're going to learn is possibly, and looks like it's the main verse for this message. There's no way
that we can
even begin to scratch the surface of the importance of the blood of Jesus. In fact, one of the study guides on safeguardyoursoul.com comes in a PDF. It's available.
That study guide is called The Blood of Jesus, and it's available on safeguardyoursoul.com. Also,
so you can find Grace and Truth Bible School on safeguardyoursoul.com. By the way, let me pause here and say, those that are supporting this ministry financially, there's about 5 to 7 right now that support this ministry monthly.
You are making a huge difference. We could not do what we're doing without you. We're reminded of 1 Corinthians 3:9. We, that's plural, are laborers together with God.
Okay, so Leviticus 17:11. For the life of the flesh is where? In the blood. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. So there it is again. It's the blood that makes an atonement for the soul. It is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Do you see how important that is? Again, let
God be true and every man a liar.
I don't understand all the intricacies of this, but I'm going to take God at his word. And when we take God at his word, such as what we just read in Leviticus 17:11, we know that those that say there's no power in the blood are absolute wolves in sheep's clothing. They are the enemies of the cross of Christ. It was the blood of his cross that redeemed us. Colossians 1:20 tells us, Colossians 1:20 says, and having made peace, that is, between God and fallen man, through the blood of his cross. Now, wait a minute. Let's ask ourselves a question. As usual, when we read scripture, beloved saints, we ask the who, what, why, when, and where, right? Having, now who's the who? Jesus. Read the context, the surrounding text. And having made peace through the blood, through what? Through the blood of his cross, the blood he shed when he was dying on the cross for us, where he ultimately said, it is finished or paid in full. Why? Because he offered his perfect, sinless, precious blood on the altar of the cross. And having made peace, Colossians 1:20, through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, that's Christ, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. These are just monumental, cardinal Bible truths and scripture that are going to be drilled down in you and establish you in Christ so that you have a solid, sound, rooted and grounded foundation so that when the winds of false doctrine blow through the church world and all over the internet, you're going to see them like the Bereans did for what they are, because you are studying to show yourself approved unto God, beloved.
You are taking personal responsibility and diligence for your salvation, for your relationship with the Lord.
So that you can rightly divide the word of truth, so that you can discern, you can weigh things in light of scripture. You can weigh everything that's being taught and every teacher of the Bible who pretends to be or claims to be representing Christ. You can weigh it all against the final divine authority of the word of God. You see, true elders of God are equipping and perfecting or maturing the saints for the work of the ministry and for the edifying of the body of Christ till we all, this is Ephesians 4:11-14, till we all come in the unity of the faith, that's all built on the word of God itself only, and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Where do we get that? In the word of God. Unto a perfect man, a mature body of believers, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And watch this, that we henceforth or from now on be no more children or immature, tossed to and fro. That's what you have when you have people that aren't yet rooted and grounded in the word of God, that is in Christ. That we henceforth from now on be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of what? Doctrine. That's what we're addressing today. We're addressing false teachers who are saying and claiming in their antichrist rebellion
under the influence and control of deceiving spirits,
that there's no power in the blood of Jesus, which we are seeing by scripture
is an absolute lie.
They're bearing false witness against what the Lord said, so they're bearing false witness against him. They are the enemies of the cross of Christ, Philippians 3:18-19. So as we mature, we move from the milk to the meat of the word, as we're learning a solid bit and component, an absolutely essential component today of the meat of the Word of God, about the blood of Jesus, we're not going to be carried about with every wind of doctrine. Every time something new, and it's the same old stuff that's recycled with a new package, you'll find that blows through the church world or is spreading on the internet with many loving it, liking it, commenting about how it changed their life.
Which is really sad to see concerning those who are not established in the Word of God by way of their elders, grounding them in the truth of God, which is the stated role of elders, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry so that they're not blown about with every wind of false doctrine, Ephesians 4:11-14, but are rather established in the truth of God, the revelation of Jesus Christ through the Word of God.
So that's what men of God are here for. They're the servant of all. That's what Jesus taught, Matthew 20 and Matthew 23. Okay, so they are to root and ground you. Now, they can't do it all for you. One of the things you'll find a true under-shepherd is doing, he's getting you into the Word of God. He's not getting you into him. He's getting you into God, amen, by getting you into the Word of God. Paul said 2 Corinthians 4:5, for we preach not ourselves,
but Christ.
And ourselves, we're mere servants to you. The servants of the Savior, 2 Corinthians 4:5. So that we henceforth, Ephesians 4:14, from now on, we want you to be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, that is, that blows through the church world, by the sleight of men. There's so many cunning deceivers out there, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ.
Now, saints, there's so much to be said about the paramount importance of the precious blood of Jesus, and thus the
text part of this message, beware of the blasphemous blood bashers, beloved saints. Okay, so Leviticus 17:11 is our main verse, and part of it says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. The life of the flesh, it's in the blood. Let's look at a commentary here from the Believer's Bible Commentary on Leviticus 17:11. He writes this. He says, the eating of blood was likewise forbidden. That's right. Leviticus 17 forbids eating blood. And so does the New Testament. The blood, it's Acts chapter 15, eating blood is forbidden. The eating of blood, he says, was likewise forbidden. The blood was for atonement, not for nourishment. The life of the flesh is in the blood. He continues, he says, the principle behind atonement is life for life. Since the wages of sin is death, symbolized by the shedding of blood, so without the shedding of blood is no remission. That is, according to Hebrews 9:22, without the shedding of blood is no remission.
That, my friends, Hebrews 9:22, is another memory verse
and cardinal foundational truth from Scripture, beloved, that you must embrace. Without the shedding of blood is no remission. That is Hebrews 9:22. I want you to write that on an index card. He continues and finishes. This is from the Believer's Bible Commentary. He says, forgiveness does not come because the penalty of sin is excused, but because it is transferred to a sacrifice whose life blood is poured out. Verse 11 here in Leviticus 17 is one of the key verses in Leviticus
and the whole Bible concerning blood atonement,
and should be memorized. Wow, he even says that himself. That's from Believer's Bible Commentary on Leviticus 17:11. That's our main verse today. Redeemed, being brought back, bought and brought back by the life of God, results in being set free, liberated, forgiven, and all of your sins remitted. You are seeking to diminish aught from the whole counsel of God, anybody who is denouncing or downplaying the blood of Jesus. It is only by, as we read in 1 Peter 1:19, the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, that we could be redeemed.
So according to Romans chapter 5 verse 9, we, the born again blood-washed saints of the Most High God are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, and we have been justified by his blood, and we shall be what? Saved from wrath through him. So if there's no power in the blood of Jesus, I sure missed out on that truth, because it's actually a lie. As the song says, there is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Okay, so pertaining to Leviticus 17:11,
Adam Clark says this. He's a commentator of old, and he says, for the life of the flesh, he's writing about Leviticus 17:11, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. This sentence, which contains a most important truth, had existed in the Mosaic writings for 3,600 years before the attention of any philosopher was drawn to the subject. This is the more surprising as the nations in which philosophy flourished were those which especially enjoyed the divine oracles in their respective languages, that is, the Word of God. That the blood actually possesses a living principle, he writes, and that the life of the whole body is derived from it. That is the blood. It is a doctrine of divine revelation, he continues, and a doctrine which the observations and experiments of the most accurate anatomist have served strongly to confirm. The proper circulation of this important fluid, that's the blood in the human body, through the whole human system was first taught by Solomon in figurative language in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 6, and discovered, as it is called and demonstrated by Dr. Harvey in 1628. Though some Italian philosophers had the same notion a little bit before that. This accurate anatomist was the first who fully revived the Mosaic notion of the vitality of the blood, that is, as it is the life of the human flesh. Okay, he continues and finishes. This is from Adam Clark. He says, which notion was afterward adopted by the justly celebrated Dr. John Hunter, professor of anatomy in London, and fully established by him by a great variety of strong reasoning and accurate experiments. To support this opinion, Dr. Hunter proves that the blood unites living parts in some circumstances as certainly as the yet recent juices of the branch
of one tree unite with that of another, and he thinks that if either of these fluids were dead matter, they would act as stimuli and no union would take place in the animal or vegetable kingdom. And he shows that in the nature of things, there is not a more intimate connection between life and a fluid. Number two, he shows that the blood becomes vascular like other living parts of the body. And he demonstrated this by a preparation in which vessels were clearly seen to arise from what had been a coagulum of blood. For those vessels opened into the stream of the circulating blood, which was in continuity with this coagulated mass. Number three, he proves that if blood be taken from the arm in the most intense cold that the human body can suffer, it will raise the thermometer to the same height as blood taken in the most sultry heat. This is a very powerful argument for the vitality of the blood, as it is well known that living bodies alone have the power of resisting great degrees of heat and cold, and of maintaining in almost every situation while in health that temperature which we distinguish by the name of animal heat. And he goes on, Moses says the life of the flesh is in the blood. This has been proved by the most indisputable facts. Paul says God made of one blood. Notice again, one blood. The life of the flesh is in the blood. Okay, again, Acts chapter 17, verse 26. And hath, that is God, hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. Acts chapter 17, verse 26. And this is demonstrated not only from there being only one pair, that would be Adam and Eve, from whom all the nations of men have been derived, but also from the fact that every human being, from the firstborn of Eve to the present hour, has been formed out of and supported by the mother's blood, and that from the agency of the fluid, the human body, after being born into the world, has its increment and support. And finally, he says, and it is well worthy of being remarked that Christ not only died for sinners, but our redemption is everywhere attributed to his blood and the shedding of that blood, and that on the altar of the cross, this might make an atonement for the lives and souls of men. He not only bowed his head and gave up the ghost, but his side was opened, the pericardium, and the heart evidently pierced, that the vital fluid might be poured out from the very seat of life, and that thus the blood, which is the life, should be poured out to make an atonement for the life of the soul. The doctrine of Moses and Paul proves the truth of the doctrine of Harvey and Hunter, and the life reasonings and experiments of Harvey and Hunter illustrate and confirm the doctrine of Moses and Paul. Here, then, is a further proof of the truth and authority of divine revelation.
So he goes on to explain this further. It's in the written text of this message on safeguardyoursoul.com. Sister Karen Cochran put this together about the blood of Jesus. She said, apart from the blood of Jesus Christ, I was doomed and separated from God. Hebrews 9:28, my debt is paid once and for all, according to Hebrews 9:28, by the blood of the Lamb. According to Romans 5:9, she says, by the blood of Jesus, I am justified. According to Ephesians 1:7, I am forgiven by the blood. Amen. According to Romans 5:9, I am spared from the wrath of God. Why and how? By the blood of Jesus. According to John 6:53, I am spiritually made alive by the blood of Jesus. Isaiah 53:5, I am healed by the blood of Jesus. And one more, she writes, 1 John 1:7, I am cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Karen Cochran. Okay, so let's cover a couple of more verses before we close here. The book of Hebrews is full of the truth about the blood, the redemption, propitiatory blood of a lamb, Jesus Christ. Hebrews 9:12, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, that's Jesus' blood. He's contrasting in Hebrews 8, chapter 8 through 10, the prefiguring shadows of the old covenant, which pointed to Christ, who has already come 2,000 years ago and is now the solution, the Savior, that was depicted by the mere shadows. Hebrews 9, verse 12, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. And again, it's only by the blood of Jesus. Romans 5:12, Romans 5 verse 9, much more then, being now justified by his blood. Notice we're justified by what? His blood. We shall be saved from wrath through him. Okay, Romans 3:25, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation, that means an atoning sacrifice, through faith in his blood. Notice, through faith in his blood. See, these men that we mentioned earlier and we quoted have no faith in the blood of Jesus, and they're declaring that blasphemously and arrogantly and brashly with no shame. Unbelievable. So we read here in Romans 3:25, whom God has has set forth to be a propitiation and atoning sacrifice through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. And that's all comes through what? Faith in his blood. Matthew 26:28. Jesus said before he went to the cross, "For this is my blood of the New Testament or New Covenant, which is shed for many for what? The remission of sins." So the remission of sins is only found in the blood of a lamb, Jesus Christ. Okay, in 2 John verse 9, it says, "Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not," that means does not continue or remain in the doctrine of Christ, "hath not God." Whoever varies from the cardinal truths of the doctrine of Christ that we receive from Scripture is no longer a Christian, is no longer a child of God. They have departed from the faith. Notice, at the heart of the doctrine of Christ, that's the words of Scripture in 2 John verse 9. It's only one chapter, the ninth verse of 2 John. This is a monumentally important one chapter book, 2 John.
And always remember that
at the heart of the doctrine of Christ, quote unquote, is what? The precious blood that Jesus came and shed on the cross, without which no sinner, no man could be saved, no man could be washed of his sins, redeemed, or reconciled to God, according to Scripture. To insinuate that his blood, the blood of Jesus Christ, was not the divine agent to redeem fallen mankind is blasphemously an indictment against the Almighty, who sent his only begotten Son to die for our sins,
to shed his precious blood, the blood of the new covenant, Matthew 26:28.
And you are declaring that he came in vain by saying there's no power or anything special in the blood of Jesus Christ. Those who do not uphold the doctrine of the blood of Christ are not saved, or no longer saved, whatever the case may be. If they were saved in the past, they're no longer saved. Read 2 John verse 9 again, friends, on your own in the King James Bible, and pray and memorize that verse. No one who does not walk in and continue all the way to the end of his life in what the Bible itself teaches of, quote, "the doctrine of Christ," unquote, the teachings of who Jesus Christ is and was, no one that does not continue in what the Bible teaches about Christ is a child of God. They no longer have God in their life. Remember, the Bible says in 1 Timothy 4:1-2 that they would depart from the faith. It doesn't say they would depart from the pulpit or from writing or from spreading their lies on YouTube or any other social media platform. Men like John MacArthur and many others are doing just that. They didn't depart, and they're not departing from the pulpit. They're departing from the faith.
They have large platforms, and so they're right where Satan has put them to deceive many. These are part of what Jesus exactly warned us about, including concerning the many false prophets. Not a few, but many. The Bible never says there would be many true prophets. There is no new thing under the sun. If you will recall, in 1 Kings, there were 850 false prophets and only 101 true prophets in the days of Elijah. So it looks like it's about an 8.5-1 differential. And that seems to fit with what the Scripture says about the many false prophets that have gone out among you. In fact, right here in this 2 John passage in verse 7, it says, "Many, for many deceivers," not a few, but many, "are entered into the world." Also, in verse 10 and 11, we read that if you bid Godspeed to, if you support in any way a false teacher, then you're going to go to hell with them. There has always been many more false prophets than there are true servants of the Lord who are faithful to his word. Let us remember, saints, Jesus said in Matthew 24:11 that many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. And the way they're going to do that, the way they are doing that right now, is they are wearing sheep's clothing. They have Christian platforms with large followings, and they are misleading many. "Beware of false prophets," Jesus said, "which come to you in sheep's clothing." They look the part. They speak with authority. 95% of what they say might be the truth, but it only takes one iota, one little ounce of arsenic, doctrinal poison, to kill you spiritually. A little leaven, just a little, leavens ruins or ruins the whole lump. Galatians chapter 5, verse 9. Again, Matthew 7, 15, beware of false prophets, which come to you, not in the devil's clothing, but in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening or devouring wolves. Remember that in the Garden of Eden, it only took one lie to cause the fall of mankind.
Amen. And so many people have left the organized church, and it's not because they're forsaking Christ. No, it's in order to preserve their faith in Christ. Because as the Bible said and foretold of this last hour, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. It continues to get worse. Listen,
it seems obvious that
it's time for us to live organically daily as the body of Christ, as was the case with the body of Christ before any impure, any wolves, any heresies even had time to fester and to be introduced into the professing body of Christ. In Acts chapter 2, they met house to house daily, and they continued in what? The apostles' doctrine, that's the word of God, and breaking of bread, fellowship, and prayer. It was very simple. Christ was glorified. The word of God was upheld as final divine authority, and they were glorifying God in an organic, pure fashion. You are going to need this 2 John verse 9 verse often in this late hour. Anything that varies from what the Bible itself teaches of Christ is absolutely another gospel, and anyone peddling it is
accursed and is a
antichrist.
Galatians chapter 1 verse 6 through 9 informs us that anyone teaching another gospel is a curse.
Now let's close, as we close, with Hebrews chapter 4, and we're going to see one of the benefits of the blood of Christ, one of the many. Notice here that there is a fount of blood, as the song said that we rehearsed earlier. Hebrews chapter 4, beginning in verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest, that's Jesus Christ, that is passed into the heavens, that's Christ who has already died, shed his precious perfect blood,
was raised again from the dead,
and now he's seated back on the right hand of the Father, that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Let us hold fast to the doctrine of Christ that's given to us in Holy Scripture, and not be moved away from it. Then he says, for we have not an high priest, which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly
unto the
throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And all of this throne of grace that we now have in heaven, that we approach the Father in the name of Jesus, as Jesus taught us, due to his redeeming precious blood, we have the privilege of going before the Father to obtain mercy anytime we've sinned or erred in any way, and to find grace to help in time of need. In other words, we're blessed to have our sins forgiven. When we repent, we return to the Lord, we confess those sins, including any doctrine we've embraced that's not of God and not according to the whole counsel of the Word of God. We can be forgiven for that, and then we are given also grace or divine enablement so that we walk in the truth, so that our ways are amended as we're conformed to the image of Christ to glorify and please God as we
fervently look
for the soon return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering gathering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among His people and through His beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Amen.